is in the first chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, and we'll be reading from verse 18 down to the end of the chapter. I am reading this morning, as I usually do, from the English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord, as we look into your word together this morning, I pray that your Spirit would make it live for us, that your voice would be the one that we hear, and that my voice won't get in the way of that, and that you would help us to respond to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Life, as you have probably noticed, is not always convenient. Anybody notice that this week? I noticed that yesterday afternoon, actually. We were heading over to the Christmas concert in Burien and heading across 188th on the south side of the airport there. And there were a bunch of police cars and fire trucks that told us, in spite of the fact that we wanted to go that way, we had to go that way. And I thought, well, what an inconvenience. And part of me thought to myself, you know, I understand why this is happening. It's all about me, of course. God just wanted me to have another illustration for the sermon. And then I read the news this morning that one of the city council members from the city of SeaTac lost her life in the traffic accident that was the reason for that blocked-off road. And I thought, well, that makes my inconvenience look pretty insignificant. But inconveniences like that, it tends to focus us on us. And inconvenience, whatever else it does, has a way of disrupting our peace. Second Advent candle, peace. The peace that Jesus came to give. Encounter a little inconvenience and see what happens to that peace. It goes drifting off somewhere else. This morning, I want you to focus with me for a few minutes on the person that I used to see as a minor, pretty insignificant character in the Christmas narrative. And I've come to change my mind. I view Joseph now as the quiet hero of the Christmas narrative. It's quite a story. You want to talk about inconvenience? Joseph experienced it. and how he responded to the inconvenient encroaching on his life has something to say to me and perhaps to you as well as we celebrate this Advent season. So let's move through the passage together and look at Joseph and inconvenience. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Joseph suddenly found himself unexpectedly experiencing the inconvenience of an unplanned pregnancy. The custom of the day was that the bride and the groom, marriages were arranged, and the bride and the groom would commit themselves to a one-year period before that marriage was finalized and consummated. And that one-year period was an opportunity to demonstrate their faithfulness and their purity to one another. It's in the midst of that one-year period that Gabriel comes visiting Mary. We talked about that a little last week. It's in the middle of that one-year period that Mary turns up unexpectedly pregnant, miraculously pregnant, albeit. But if you're Joseph and you haven't yet talked to the angel, you don't know about the miracle yet. All you know is that the woman you had pledged to take as your wife is suddenly pregnant. Now, that's pretty inconvenient. What's Joseph to think? Going to think the only thing he can think. His assumption is that Mary has been unfaithful. That in spite of their engagement, in spite of their betrothal, in spite of this opportunity to demonstrate their faithfulness to one another, Mary has not been faithful. All Joseph knows is that Mary is pregnant and he's not the father. What do you do? What do you do? Well, you've had the unplanned, the unexpected encroach on your life, haven't you? And it's been inconvenient. What do you do? Well, understand something. When the unexpected comes, it is not a surprise to God. Joseph was surprised. Joseph was inconvenienced. God was not surprised, because God is always bigger than the unexpected. He always knows what's going on. And in this particular instance, he's the author of the inconvenience. But poor Joseph. Joseph doesn't know that. All he knows is that there is this unplanned pregnancy to deal with. Now, Joseph has options. He really does. He's got choices. The law and the tradition of the day had a way of handling a situation like this. And the way of handling that situation would have been to take Mary to the city fathers at the city gate, show them that she was pregnant in spite of this pledge of faithfulness, and let them go ahead and stone her. That was a legitimate option for Joseph. He could have done that. And nobody in Nazareth would have criticized him for doing it. That could have happened. But Joseph doesn't do that. It's why I've come to love Joseph. Scripture says, her husband Joseph, being a just man, it's a guy that is righteous, a guy whose heart is right before God, a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, decided he wouldn't take her to the city fathers gathered at the city gate and have her stoned. He'd come up with a better option. He would simply quietly divorce her to dissolve this intended marriage and save Mary some of the shame, humiliation, and possible loss of life that could have resulted. You know, as I think about that, it occurred to me that Joseph's action, Joseph's choice at this point is the first act anybody takes to protect this unborn Messiah. But a quiet divorce isn't exactly what God had in mind either. Joseph is a man whose character is up against his circumstances. He's a good man, but he's dealing with a set of circumstances that call for action that is actually going to be radically different than what Joseph ends up doing. Radically different. Joseph, good man because he doesn't have Mary stoned. Not only doesn't have her stoned, he ends up going ahead with a marriage. In fact, advancing the marriage. Ever had your character and your circumstances in conflict? Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, one of the translations of that word considered comes out as fervent inner cogitation. Do you like that? Fervent inner cogitation. This was no idle thought on Joseph's part. He'd taken some good time. Deep thought. What do I do? Painful thought as well. What do I do about Mary? I don't want to put her to shame. I want to do what's right. I'll just quietly divorce her. Let's just pretend this betrothal never happened. No. What do you do when your character and your circumstances get in conflict? There is a temptation, and you've experienced this temptation, I think, to put aside your character and let your circumstances rule. And it's not a good thing to do. See, in God's economy, and as it turns out in Joseph's economy, character always trumps circumstances. And Joseph lives up to his character. I like this guy. Begin to see some good reason that God chose Joseph as the father model for Jesus. Well, it's inconvenient, though, when your circumstances get in the way of your character. Her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God showed up. You want to talk about inconvenience? Let me tell you, divine intervention can be inconvenient. In fact, it's probably more often inconvenient than not. When God steps into your life, he's liable to start messing around. And you'd better be prepared to let him, or things are going to get mighty uncomfortable. God steps in the person of an angelic message for Joseph. Angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel has several things to say. Joseph, son of David, oh, he knows who I am. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid. Over and over and over and over and over in Scripture, that message comes from angels to humans. Fear not. Don't be afraid. It is not God's intention that you and I live in and act out of fear. It is God's intention that we live by and act out of faith. And there's a world of difference. Joseph, do not fear. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, God's been at work. Well, couldn't he have at least checked with me first? No, because God doesn't need your permission and he doesn't need mine and he didn't ask Joseph's. He just acted. He's God. He gets to do that. What you are seeing, Joseph, is God at work. And you know, if I'm Joseph, I'm probably sitting there scratching my head thinking, so this is what God at work looks like. Really? What kind of a mess is this? Well, Joseph, it's God's mess. It's God's mess, and he can handle it. This is of the Holy Spirit. She, Mary, will bear a son. and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph's a smart guy, and he's just put two and two together. And when he put two and two together, what he came up with was Messiah. Oh, really? Mary is going to give birth to the Savior, to the Messiah. Oh. He will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah, who said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And folks, God with us is always worth the inconvenience. Always. When God's at work, and part of that work is drawing close to you, it may be an inconvenience, but my friend, it is worth it. It may not look worth it at the time, but it's worth it. Well, that's the way it is, huh? So now Joseph has a decision to make. He thought he'd made the decision already, and he thought he'd made it well. Mary shows up pregnant. Joseph says, "Okay, I'm not going to have her stoned. I'll just divorce her quietly." He'd thought about that for a good long time. And then he hears from the angel. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. This is of God. Mary's son is going to be Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior." Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. I wish that were always true of me. That when I wake from sleep, I do what God tells me. Maybe some of you do that better than I do. Joseph decided to change his mind. Now it was, "I'm not going to have Mary stoned, and I'm not going to quietly divorce Mary." What the angel had said to him, back up in verse 20, was, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife." That word, "take," or "receive as your wife." There's some intention in that, by the way. It is exactly the same word that describes what Joseph did in verse 24. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife. Now, understand what that meant. That meant that in the eyes of the Nazareth society, suddenly that one-year betrothal period has come to an early end. And Joseph takes Mary into his home as his wife. Their marriage is not yet consummated and won't be until after the baby's born. But if you're living in Nazareth, you don't know that. What has Joseph just done? Joseph has just put his own reputation on the line in obedience to God. In order to accomplish God's will, in order to serve God, in order to fulfill a role as father to the Messiah. What a calling that is. And Nazareth society doesn't have a clue. Sometimes even obedience is inconvenient. Wouldn't it be nice if it were always easy to do what God wants you to do? Wouldn't it be nice if obeying God was always the convenient thing to do? If it made obvious sense? But sometimes it doesn't. And it didn't for Joseph. Obeying God can be costly. In fact, I think obeying God is pretty much always costly. There's no such thing as cheap discipleship. Joseph had a price to pay, and he paid it. And sooner or later, you and I are going to get to the point, probably over and over and over and over again, of having to answer the question, is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to obey God? Because it sure looks inconvenient to me. Is it worth it? When you ask that question of yourself, would you please remember that God is a God who values obedience and who enables obedience, even, perhaps especially, when it's inconvenient. He did for Joseph. In a couple of weeks, we're going to see part of how that worked out in Joseph's life. But I'll just tantalize you with that. We won't go there yet. God makes obedience possible, even when it's inconvenient. Are you beginning to understand why Joseph is my quiet hero of Easter? I love this, of Christmas, excuse me. Well, some Christian holiday. What a guy. I trust that this Advent season, as you contemplate again, preparation for the coming of Jesus, the example of this man will speak to you. And you'll discover some of what Joseph discovered about inconvenience. That God can handle it, no matter how unexpected, no matter how wild it is. That your character really is more important than your comfort and your circumstances. Oh, there have been so many times when I wish that God's priority had been my comfort. It isn't. Joseph learned that God will show up, and it might not be convenient when he does. When he does in your life, welcome him. No matter the inconvenience, and Joseph learned to obey because he decided it was worth it. It always is. It's worth it. Inconvenient? Yes. But worth it. Lord, You who are the God of peace, help us to respond to the inconvenience in our lives by welcoming and obeying You. Thank You for Your help as we seek to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.